Shankar Devamuni and Deva Bhuti, text 21. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Sa.
Sa.
Ugra.
Ugra.
Danvan.
Danvan.
Iyan.
Iyan.
Eva Babase.
Eva Babase.
Asich.
Asich.
Cha. Tushnim.
Tushnim.
Aravinda.
Aravinda.
Nadha.
Nadha.
Dio Pagrina.
Dio Pagrina.
Smita.
Smita.
Shobitena.
Shobitena.
Mukhena.
Mukhena.
Cheto.
Cheto.
Lulupe.
Lulupe.
Devahutya.
Devahutya.
Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Sa ugra danvan iyad eva babashe.
Sa ugra danvan iyad eva babashe.
Asich chatushnim aravinda nabha.
Asich chatushnim aravinda nabha.
Diyopa grinan smita shobitena.
Diyopa grinan smita shobitena.
Mukhena cheto lulave devahutya.
Mukhena cheto lulave devahutya.
Sa ugra danvan iyad eva babashe.
Sa ugra danvan iyad eva babashe.
Asich chatushnim aravinda nabha.
Asich chatushnim aravinda nabha.
Diyopa grinan smita shobitena.
Diyopa grinan smita shobitena.
Mukhena cheto lulave devahutya.
Mukhena cheto lulave devahutya.
Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Sa ugra danvan iyad eva babashe.
Sa ugra danvan iyad eva babashe.
Asich chatushnim aravinda nabha.
Asich chatushnim aravinda nabha.
Diyopa grinan smita shobitena.
Diyopa grinan smita shobitena.
Mukhena cheto lulave devahutya.
Mukhena cheto lulave devahutya.
Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Yo, my name is Mr. Sumitra.
चेतो लुलुभे देव हुत्यान
मुखे रहे तो लुलुभे देव हुत्यान
messages messages
maitreya uvacha
Only
Abhashe
spoke
Asit
became
Chan and
Tushnim
silent
Aravindanabha
Lord Vishnu whose navel is adorned by a lotus Diya,
by thought,
Upagrinan,
seizing,
Smita Shobitena, beautified by his smile, Mukhena,
by his face,
Cheta,
the mind.
Lulupe
was captivated.
Devahutya.
Of Devahuti.
Translation. Sri Maitreya said, O great warrior Vidura, the sage Kardama said this much only, and then became silent, thinking of his worshipable Lord Vishnu, who has a lotus on his navel. As he silently smiled, his face captured the mind of Devahuti, who began to meditate upon the great sage. Should this be louder, or is it okay? I'm just asking. What do you think? It's all right. It's okay. Okay, purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that Kardama Muni was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because as soon as he became silent, he at once began to think of Lord Vishnu. That is the way of Krishna consciousness. Pure devotees are so absorbed in thought of Krishna that they have no other engagement. Although they may seem to think or act otherwise, they are always thinking of Krishna. This smile of such a Krishna conscious person is so attractive that simply by smiling he wins so many admirers, disciples, and followers. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I must not smile because I don't seem to be pretentious. That's the purport. So, okay. I'll read the verse again. Maitreya Vacha, Surugradam Ran Iyad Evabi Babashe, Asich Tatush Nim Aravinda Nabhav, Diopa Green Nans Mitashobitena, Mukena Cheto Lulabe Devahutya. Sri Maitreya said, O great warrior, Vidura, the sage Karudama said this much only, and then became silent, thinking of his worshipable Lord Vishnu, who has a lotus on his navel. As he silently smiled, his face captured the mind of Devahuti, who began to meditate upon the great sage. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vidalaya Vishnu Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Chari Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastita Vishnai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Vichyananda Sri Advaita Radha Shrivastani Gauravaka Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Well, yes. Let us just see. We'll say a few words about this, and because the purport's very short and kind of, well, it's nice. It's very nice, but a little unusual. Maybe we'll carry on and read another verse or so. The longer purport. Anyway, let's just see how it goes. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your interest in Krishna consciousness. Well, we mentioned already a couple of days ago we were here, Thursday, and we mentioned a little bit of the background, how Karudama Muni has ended up in this situation. Even though, like Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, he explains so very nicely that Karudama was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and the evidence is that as soon as he stopped talking, he immediately just became absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. He had no other interest for his mind to go off into even, you know, perhaps particularly, or at least one point. He didn't start looking at Devahuti and sort of contemplating her. She looked at him. And, well, again, she's a great soul. She's not just some girl who's just interested in boys, which, unfortunately, well, it's the material world. What do we expect? It's so common. Very common. That's just life in the material world. What can you expect? She was on a different level, born in a better, not just a better family, but just very exalted family. Her father is a great Krishna conscious authority, Mahaja. And her mother, Shatarupa, also. And she's been brought up like that, trained like that. So she's also a great transcendental personality. And, you know, we see, as things go on, we see it in different ways. Her exalted nature, his exalted nature, her exalted nature. That, well, we read the other day how Cardano said, okay, I will accept this very qualified girl, but on the grounds, the sort of foundational understanding of the relationship has to be accepted like that. That as soon as a child is conceived, I go into sannyas, actually, specifically. He would take sannyas, either directly or indirectly. There's no mention of there being any ceremony, but definitely, effectively, fully into the, in fact, it's mentioned, the Paramahansa order of life. It means sannyas, not just sannyas, but the highest level of sannyas. And then he would complete his mission of human life. So, Devahuti, hearing that, as far as we're aware, at least we're not aware of her being aware that this was going to be like a condition or a precondition to the marriage. So let us assume she was just not aware. As far as she was aware, she was getting married to a great saintly person, but still she was getting married, which means, of course, long-term relationship, not just for a relatively short period of time. It might be a year or a couple of years or something. Before the conception of a child takes place. But Devahuti did not protest. Devahuti did not protest. Nowadays, well, you know, the times have changed. There's one of our devotee sannyasis, ISKCON, senior man, who took sannyas. We will not mention any names. And he was already, I would say, around 60, not a young man. And we mentioned the other day how Shastra says, Pancha Surva Vanam Vrajet. When you turn 50, a male should go to the forest. This is like a normal standard, desirable standard. Amiyad Das Maharaj yesterday at a program played an excerpt of a recording of a class by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada quoted that. Did you remember? Prabhupada said, Panchashortvanam Vrajet, age of 15, a man, devotee, serious devotee man, should leave home and take sannyas. Yes. So, anyway, this devotee we're talking about, as I recall, he must have been around 60, not a young man, already fully engaged in devotional service, and not a working man. And he took sannyas, actually. And his wife, Hare Krishna, what a scene that was. Oh my God. She almost sued ISKCON for sort of stealing her husband or something, which was just not the case. And the children, wow. It was just a big scene, a big noisy scene. So, well, you know, when I was young, there was a popular song, The Times, They Are A-Changing. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. Bob Dylan. Well, the times have changed. It has happened. The times have changed. And Devahuti, here she is getting married. to a very special person. And as far as we know, she's not aware that this is his idea, but now she's aware that, you know, it means normally just in a couple of years, very soon, when a child is conceived, then that's it. That's it, he's gone forever. But she does not protest. She actually doesn't say anything. In fact, she... She became even more attached to him and more satisfied that yes, this is very nice person for me to marry. So there are two main points which Prabhupada in the verse, and Prabhupada looks at them both. One was how Karadama, after he had said what he wanted to say, he fixed his mind on the Lord immediately. He didn't get into any other thoughts about, you know, how to convince the father that, you know, because if the father is finding out in a couple of years my daughter is effectively going to be a widow, the father might also protest, wait a minute, I think we'll make another arrangement, thanks for the offer, we'll find another young man, maybe a kshatriya, because they're more sort of into these things. No. Anyway, it's very interesting, the mindsets of these personalities is very deep. It's definitely not just little things happening on the surface and the mind changes and then another idea comes. But there are very deep states of Krishna consciousness going on here. And not only Kardama, but Devahuti also. And must be the parents also. Must be. Because they're great elevated personalities. And there's famous saying, what is it now? What's the Sanskrit or Bengali? You can't understand the mind of a Vaishnava. What's that verse? Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabujaya. That you cannot understand the mind of a Vaishnava doesn't mean just like, you know, with respect, little Vaishnavas trying to be Vaishnavas like us, but the big Vaishnavas. In fact, if you when we read Nectar of Devotion, we see one of the characteristics of a devotee on the level of prema is that he cannot be understood, or at least very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. Because the mind is functioning on that level with Krishna. And when Srila Prabhupada was present, there were numerous occasions when there were certain situations that Prabhupada was asked to decide on, or that he just decided to decide on, and the devotees expected some other decision, and they felt that some other decision was like obvious. But Prabhupada made a different, quite a different decision, and the devotees were left sort of scratching their heads. You know, why did he decide like that? But then in due course, it turned out that it was the right decision. And they had to say, oh, well, I really didn't think of that. Perhaps the most classic situation, and it was really an issue. And I remember, we were in England, of course, and this was going on in America, but I remember when it happened, the news sort of filtered out around the world that some of the leaders in America had made a decision that in order to facilitate the expansion of the Krishna consciousness movement, we should sort of amalgamate the ownership of a number or even all of our temple properties so they could be collateral for taking loans from banks for buying things like vehicles, for example, and maybe actually just other properties also. For spreading Krishna consciousness, we can spread Krishna consciousness more if we take these loans. And we feel that we don't need to worry about paying off the loans. We feel we can manage. So take the loans, purchase vehicles for book distribution, maybe purchase some more properties as temples, and expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Good idea, what do you think? What do you think? Who thinks it's a good idea anyway? Okay, we won't ask.
I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, he knows the story. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know the story.
Okay.
In my personal opinion, I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So Prabhupada, when he heard about that, he became, you could say, irate. He became so angry, and he just chastised them publicly. That you think, it's like that, you think that we'll do this and that, but actually we want to do things in different ways. And so the devotees accepted Prabhupada's decision, of course. But then later what happened was there was a court case. It is called, you can look it up on the internet, it's there, the records and everything. It was called the Robin George case. There was this girl, teenage, underage, I forget the actual age, but teenage. So legally underage, who had become a devotee and become very enthusiastic. I must join the temple. I must. I want to. I will. And even though her parents objected really strongly, she appealed to the devotees. Come on, I want to be a devotee, and it's my life, and Krishna, I want to surrender. And so the devotees contrived, what would you say, sort of like a... they took her and hid her, moved her around a bit, so she wasn't easy to find, moved from one temple to another. And and the parents were just in total anxiety, called the police, and it became a big issue. But then you know what happened? Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. From, yes, I must be a devotee, Krishna forever, only Krishna, she gave up Krishna consciousness. Somehow, something, I don't know what happened even, but somehow or other, things went sour, and she left the movement, and then she and her parents made a case against ISKCON and tried to get ownership of a number of ISKCON temples to sell to pay some number of millions of dollars as damages or whatever, you know. In such cases, people get paid. And we would have lost the Los Angeles temple, which at the time was the biggest temple in the world, and the ISKCON headquarters, and various others, a number of others, possibly every temple in America. Harry Ball. Just, you know, within a year or a couple of years, it all sort of went totally the other way. So, like this, you know, by Krishna's arrangement, it wasn't just sort of theoretical, like it's best to keep the properties separate, separately owned. But it became a very expensive lesson, actually, because they managed to sue and get a few million dollars. Yes. Hare Krishna. So the thing is, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Ujaya. The great devotees, you know, so of course, like with Prabhupada, oftentimes you could understand, why did he decide this? Why did he decide that? And, you know, it just appears, it follows normal logic. But sometimes he made decisions which seemed to defy normal logic. And the devotees, the young devotees, who are just more on that, the kind of mechanical way of thinking, they couldn't understand and even in some cases couldn't accept. And therefore, problems, real problems arose. So these people here are really on a different level. Kardama. Well, we mentioned the other day, Thursday, that Kardama, he is so advanced. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared to him in person, face to face. And we don't mean in the deity form, or in the form of a picture, or via a book, although, you know, it's sort of the same thing, ultimately. But we mean actually face to face, as we are face to face, and spoke to him. Yeah. And asked him what he wanted. Did that happen to any of you? I can just say it hasn't happened to me. Maybe it's happened to some of you. And I'm mistaken. I'm underestimating. But I don't think it's happened to any of us. And I don't really expect it to happen for a while. Anyway, just carry on. You're doing nice. You're nice devotees. But we're not on that level. We're just not on that level. And therefore, the Lord doesn't do that. Even though I think sometimes we would like it to happen. So he asked Kardama, what do you want? And Kardama, you know, it may be inconceivable to us. He said, I want a wife. Hari Bol. Another Hari Bol. So many Hari Bols. I want a wife. And you think, come on, you know, you just saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you ask for a wife. What is this? Wives are available. There's a sort of a market for wives. You can acquire one in this way or that. Why? When the Lord comes to you and you could just ask for anything, why ask for a wife? But the thing is, he is on a higher level of Krishna consciousness, actually. And he understood, even though I'm just on the edge of being ready for the Paramahansa order, high level sannyas life, but I'm not quite ready. I need to have this experience. So, therefore, from that perspective of completing himself for his betterment in Krishna consciousness, he asked for a wife. So, it's very interesting. It's very interesting sometimes, like, to read Prabhupada's pastimes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, there are not so many biographies of previous acharyas. But Prabhupada, of course, we have so much information. It's really interesting sometimes to see how he thought and how he made decisions on a higher level of Krishna consciousness. And that's what's going on here. And in a sense, it's like a simple point that he is on such a level that as soon as he stopped his presentation, immediately just fully thinking of Krishna. We see also another similar example, at least related example, is there in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Devasa and Maharaj Ambarish. It's a related situation. It's not exactly the same, but it's definitely, there's a real connection. Is that Devasa Muni, it's a long story, but it ends up, Devasa Muni curses Maharaj Ambarish. Or doesn't even really curse him, I suppose. Pulled the hair out of his head. Shri, Shri, Radha Golokananda, Shri, Shri, Giri Govardhan, Shri, Shri, Gornitai, King. Shri, Shalagram, Narayan, King. Pulled the hair out of his head, threw it on the ground, and then manifested a fiery demon who attacked Maharaj Ambarish to kill him. Just came upon Maharaj Ambarish. So there's Maharaj Ambarish faced with its apparent death. And what did he do? Folded his hands like this. Remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as a result, tears came from his eyes. Later, or just immediately after, the Sudarshan Chakra came and destroyed the fiery demon, and then turned on Devasa and came to kill him. But Devasa did not do that and think of the Lord, and tears came from his eyes. Maybe tears came from his eyes. It was a whole different experience. He panicked. Yeah. And he headed for the hills, as they say. He ran for his life. Just in total uncontrolled distress. I'm going to lose my life. Oh no. I must do something. Anything. Anything. So, I don't know if we mentioned that point the other day, but anyway, it's just a very interesting point. The difference in reaction, which shows the difference in consciousness of the great devotee. And in his case, Devasa is not exactly a devotee. He's a Vedic sage who knows about Krishna, but is not practicing. He's not practicing, but he has other types of attachments and attractions in sort of spiritual or religious terms. So, and another interesting little point about Maharaj Ambarish is that Maharaj Ambarish is, according to Shastra, not on the level of Krishna Prema. He is on the level of Bhava. That, you know, that's very high, but it's not Krishna Prema. There are great differences. There are great differences between the level of Bhava and the level of Krishna Prema. So, yeah, but still, even though he's not on that highest level, still his reaction was so nice and so Krishna conscious, and tears came to his eyes just remembering, oh my Lord, you are so wonderful, and whatever you want, let whatever you want happen, that's just fine. That's what I want. If I die, very good. So, yes, so like that, his level of consciousness was revealed. Here, Kardama Muni's level of Krishna consciousness is also being revealed. You know, Hare Krishna. It's okay. She's all right. I remember, I won't mention any names. It was in South Africa, actually. One of our brahmachari boys, young Indian devotee, nice boy, chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, wanted to get married, approached the temple, I think like the regional secretary, can I get married to such and such? Regional secretary said, yes. And I tell you what, that boy became ecstatic. He really did. It was amazing. He came out, he was just so happy. I was wondering, I didn't know what had happened. I was wondering, what happened to him? I can get married. Ah. My life is perfect. Different levels of consciousness which manifest in certain situations. You know, and in one sense, ultimately, a point is, you can't really hide where you're at least from those who have deeper understandings. You can't really hide. So Kardama was like that. A very elevated devotee. So, you know, he completes his presentation and just remembers the personality of Godhead. And as he remembered, the Lord smiled about the Lord. Then, so he became silent, remembered the Lord, smiled because of remembering how wonderful is the Lord. And Devahuti, she accepted within her heart and really started to focus her mind on her husband. But then Prabhupada makes the interesting point at the end, I'm sure you noted it, that the smile of such a Krishna conscious person, means like Kardama, not like you and me. I mean, we also smile, but sometimes we smile for other reasons. Like if Donald Trump is booted out, I think some of us will smile. There's it's not really related to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says the smile of such a Krishna conscious person means like Kaudama, is so attractive that simply by smiling he wins so many admirers, disciples and followers. Now we just told the story yesterday, and maybe another day. It's a really nice little story from a devotee who was with Prabhupada at the time. They were in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. He had given the Sunday class, and then he's about to go out of the temple room, but someone came and asked him a question. So Prabhupada stayed to answer the question, but everyone else went out. And at that place, in front, the temple is set back from the road, and there's a lawn in front. And the devotees and guests and people went out and sat on the lawn and started taking prasadam. And Prabhupada was dealing with the question, and he only came out maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, and prasadam was already in full swing. And Prabhupada came out and saw this happy scene, enjoying the nice prasadam, associating together many smiles and some laughing, and you know, it happens here too. And Prabhupada came out onto the stairs, their steps going down into that lawn area. Prabhupada came out, he's standing on the steps, and he stopped and looked around at this happy scene of prasadam taking and associating. And Srila Prabhupada said that, I think that if it were not for prasadam, I would not have made any disciple. This is an authentic story from the person who was there. Yeah. So, Prabhupada, you know, even though Prabhupada was, you know, when I first, actually the second time, the first time I saw Prabhupada, I just didn't know who he was, what was going on. I was a university student and just didn't know about these things hardly at all. But the second time, I was already practicing, living in the temple and for some months. And so, you know, I definitely had an appreciation for Prabhupada. But the second time I saw him, you know what I noticed first? Prabhupada was small, well under, I mean, I think maybe a little shorter than yourself, or something like, anyway, don't mind me saying that. But Prabhupada was small, and I was surprised that he was so small, quite small. Then the second thing I noticed was that his skin was like an effulgent kind of semi-golden color. It was quite striking. But anyway, Prabhupada was small. When he first started preaching, he was already 70 years old. When you reach that age, your physical condition has already really gone down noticeably. I mean, I'm not 70 yet. But just look at me. Deterioration has set in. And that's when he started. When I first saw Prabhupada, he was 76. It is old. And the body's just not the same. It really isn't. But the devotees were just so much in love with Prabhupada. It was incredible. And whenever Prabhupada would just move his hand, the devotee would be like, wow, did you see that? Yeah. And whenever he would speak, sure, it was always, you know, so much appreciation. Even though he was really old. So, and when he smiled, sure. Well, you know the one story, let me tell you a story. I've told it, I think, at the farm before. One devotee in Los Angeles, he decided that he's a disciple of Prabhupada, serving for some number of years, but he'd never really interacted with Prabhupada personally. So he decided, I want to have an interaction with Prabhupada. So, okay, let me work out how I'm going to do it. Okay, so how I'll do it is, Prabhupada, his Vyasa San in Los Angeles, and to this day, it's like where the mridangas are there, more or less. On the side, deities are on his left. Prabhupada would sit there, give class, and this is the temple room, and the door's there, basically. Then he would get out off the Vyasa San and walk out. He would kind of curve around gently and walk maybe in the center or maybe just this side of the center of the temple room and walk out the door every time. This is just how he would do it. So this devotee had noted the route. Prabhupada had a standard route he followed. It was only a matter of a few inches this way or that, but he would come out. So the devotee positioned himself on the route. On the route. Actually, just this side of the route. So Prabhupada will pass by him. And when Prabhupada passes by, when Prabhupada is about, he had it figured out to like the inch. When Prabhupada is about, say, 25 inches away from me, I will kind of lean forward a little and go, Jai Prabhupada. And the idea was Prabhupada would smile and go, Jai. This is the whole strategy for that. So there he was, the devotee, you know, he's sort of maybe somewhere around here. He's just in the right position. He's got it totally worked out. And Prabhupada gets off the Vyasa and follows the normal route. And is coming down. Everything is just perfect. And the devotee is just about, you know, his hands are going up. And suddenly Prabhupada stopped and turned left. And went into the kitchen. And in the kitchen was Jayananda, the famous Jayananda, who was just, you know, another transcendental personality. And, you know, he didn't ask Prabhupada, can you come into the kitchen and we could discuss something? Prabhupada decided. Prabhupada saw him there. And Prabhupada decided to go in and speak to Jayananda, and he did. And he spent maybe a minute speaking to Jayananda about something. And then he came out of the kitchen and sort of walked along the wall on that side and walked out. And our devotee, you know, is still. And then he understood that you can't sort of, you know, what would you say? You can't use that sort of logic to get the mercy. Jayananda got the mercy because of the devotee he was. And, you know, you can't just use some tricky sort of maneuvering to get mercy. Anyway, But the thing is, when Prabhupada would smile, then the devotees would just become captivated. So it's similar with Kardama, it's similar with any real transcendental personality, that there's a special quality in everything they do, and particularly something very sweet and nice like smiling. There's special potency there. And if you are tuned in, you have to be tuned in, otherwise you think, oh, he's just some old man. If you're tuned in, then you'll appreciate even very small things. A smile. Even just very, very, even smaller things than a smile become very special, because they're reflecting that special internal nature of that great elevated devotee, who otherwise we tend to have a, you know, at least somewhat superficial type of perspective on. Anyway, these are some thoughts. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Maharajas, enlighten us.
Prabhupada gave class on Dera.
On this verse?
Yeah.
On this verse?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I don't know if we can read the whole thing, but...
No. Just happened to share.
Oh, yeah. It's a class. Okay, let's read a paragraph. Prabhupada, he's now beginning the class on this very verse. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varamane. There is one instance of Krishna consciousness. How the devotee does not lose a single moment without thinking of Krishna. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Kirtaniya Sada Hari. This instruction we get. So, Sada Tad Bhava Bhavita. If you practice like that, then there's a chance of being transferred to Krishna just after leaving this body. So somehow or other you should be absorbed in the thought of Krishna. We get all these examples from authority. Just like Ambarish Maharaj. He was emperor, very responsible man, but Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo, he kept his mind always on the lotus feet of Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. So although great emperor, so responsibility, still it was possible for him to keep his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. And you know, let me just you got it? Would you like to say something, Maharaj? Anyone else? Any comment, question, point? Yeah?
Much question. Maharaj, the Kadama Muni, after he had darshan of the Lord, he still asked for a spouse.
Right.
After this. So, I was thinking that you want to tell me whether I'm right or wrong? I was thinking that it was because, like the Prajapatis, they have the service to procreate, so then they might need a spouse to procreate and a service. So is this the same case here, or is it something different?
Okay, that's an interesting point, yeah. As explained, he had, like, the little seed of a desire. But also he's in a Prajapati type of, arguably, type of position. So that there can easily be an element of duty rather than just, I want. Of course, we note that the sons of Daksha, the Haryashvas, first of all, and the Sadalashvas, they're meant to be Prajapatis, and Daksha is big Prajapati. But for Krishna consciousness and the Narada Muni's direction, they gave up being Prajapatis. And Kardama, his point is one child, not Prajapati. Prajapati means actually thousands or millions of children. Yeah, one child, and that's all. So I think that's what I would say. Is that okay?
You've mentioned about Srila Prabhupada. Just for us to meditate or imagine, what was actually the color of Srila Prabhupada in terms of, you know, comparatively to all the Swamis, Indian sannyasis we know? Maharaj, can you give some idea?
Well, yeah. And that's what struck me at first. He was lighter skinned than I expected. I already knew quite a number of Indian people. I had association with Hindu people and visited their homes and, you know, eaten there and seen their altars and things. But Prabhupada seemed to be noticeably lighter skinned. I mean, not really. Not like a white person, but obviously Indian, but lighter skinned, and there was an element of goldness in the color. Yeah, it's an element of goldness. So it was very interesting. You know, when I first saw, the second time I saw Prabhupada, I didn't expect him to look that small, or quite that, like, effulgent and golden color. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Go, Premanande.
Thank you.